Evan, thank you so much. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for hanging with me.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us.
Pleasure to be.
Yeah. I want to hear about your business. First of all, are you in Jacksonville, Florida?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
I'm a little jealous because it just kind of snowed here. I'm in Boston and it snowed here yesterday, and you're in the nice, I don't know how warm it is in Jacksonville, but it's warmer than it is here in Boston. That's for sure.
Well, I'm wearing my hoodie because I have my air conditioner on at my house.
So that answers that question.
Yeah. No, it's nice. Summers aren't the most enjoyable sometimes, yeah. But hey, you know,
tell us.
I don't miss it. Of shoveling snow up north.
I know,
anymore.
Right? It's not a fun experience. But so you're in Jacksonville now. You own Pi 95. Tell us a little bit about your business.
I do. Okay, so Pi 95, we started in October 24th, 2016 was our first day we ever sold our pizza. We started as a food truck on the side of the road. I thought people were going to see that oven on the back of a concession trailer and come flocking to us. Little did I know I was completely wrong. So any business takes some time to build and grow and get a reputation and a following. So we did that for about 5 years, the food trucking, going everywhere from almost like Central Florida all the way up to Atlanta, just doing pop-ups. Wow. And yeah, it was a great experience. So we did that, and the whole time, of course, looking for storefront because I understand that the winters here and there, they're quite different, but summertime when you're working in a food truck with a wood-fired oven, it can be pretty exhausting. So that's an understatement, actually. So long story short, I finally found a storefront, and now come March 14th on Pi Day will be our two-year anniversary for Pi 95.
Oh, congratulations. So,
pretty exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not easy, too. Like, you know, everybody's like, oh, I opened a pizzeria. But opening a pizzeria and then being able to, like, last and stay open and be profitable and run it properly is not easy to do. So anybody who has a pizzeria that's been open for years, you know, you should be proud of yourself because it's not easy.
You know, and I'd like to really think that we opened up on, 22 we opened up. And let's be realistic, we're not having the most amazing economy right now. So
yeah.
If we're staying ahead and getting like the local residents and the people and the customer base, and we're building it now, then I'm really excited to see what we can see in the future.
Was the goal for you always to start with the food truck and then move into a brick and mortar?
Yeah, I never wanted to continuously stay in a food truck. Like, it was a very nice journey, a good chapter to do it. It was also the most affordable, feasible way. We've never had an investor in any form, never with the food truck nor with the storefront. So that was allowing me to raise capital instead of having to just say, okay, we're stationary, we're not going anywhere, now you have to come to us. People that do that, I take my hats off to them. But we were able to do a lot more experimenting with time and creating more things and be more of the community, I would feel, than just like a local spot on a chain corner, you know?
Yeah. Probably gives you the ability to start small too. How much did it cost you to start your food truck?
So to start the food truck, I actually got the food truck with the oven, all the equipment and everything for less than $38,000. So about 37 and change.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but the cool thing back in the day, you could buy a Mugnanini. Is going to hate me for saying this, but I was able to buy a 110 Mugnanini dome oven for about $11,000 to $12,000 back then. Nowadays, you're looking at easy 10 on top of that. And so we were able to do that build almost a decade ago, 8 years ago, and in a very affordable price. Fortunately, I had somebody reach out to me several years after, like when we had the storefront open. I guess PTSD with the food truck. Yeah, like it's a real thing. When you're driving on the road, you have blowouts and generators are dying and none of your staff show up and there's a hurricane in Florida like every single afternoon in the midsummer days. And well, sarcastically, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. yeah, it's like you get those 2 hours of rain and like hurricane force winds and all that stuff, right?
Oh yeah, we're just sitting there like a groups of us at the food truck area being like, who's going out? You going out? You canceled? Who's canceled? All right. One down, two down. It's like, you beat the odds. And then it's always like the perfect storm. That one guy made it out and it's like, I did a killing. Screw you. We all went out. You know? But so long story short, I ended up selling the food truck and that went upstate New York. And fortunately was able to get a fair dollar back on my investment on what it was, and I hope they're doing great with it. And don't really look back to do the whole mobile food trucking, like with pizza and food and prepared events. It is a very nice. They both have their pros and cons though. Food trucking, you go to your locations and the party shows up, and you're at these communities, and it's a Wednesday, and it's a Why Cook Wednesday, and you're going out and you're selling anywhere from 70 to 120 pizzas. And the downside on that, I would actually say, is the customer base. The customer is more of a number, and you don't really get that relationship with them. Too much now of the world. And the hospitality industry is not the hospitality industry. It's let's go walk up to this kiosk, hit a number. I have no assistance on what I'm going to order. And then at the very bottom, it says add a tip. Just like, what is this, you know? So, with that being said, with the whole like quick numbers on a food truck, what I really enjoy with the storefront is that every time the door opens, it's a how's it going? Hi, how are you? We get to know like when some of our customers or kids are going to college and it's birthday. We have engagement parties and all sorts of fun stuff at a little pizzeria, and you really become part of the community. So that's part of the reward.
Because you're always trying with the food truck, you're always trying to be like, all right, what's the next event? What's the next wedding? What's the next?
All the time. Okay, you could be doing X amount of sales here. You find another location and you're running into a location where you're just getting a bigger sales. So like at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. But at the end of the day, you also want to be in the hospitality and serving the people. But it's all in a balance.
I mean, that's what makes you different, right? The only like, there's a lot of chains out there that we are all competing with when it comes to like pizza and delivery and takeout. So the only way you really have to be able to, obviously you can have a better product because the chains don't have a great product. They may have a consistent product, but it's not really that good, let's be honest. So that's where you can separate yourself. But then you can also separate yourself because you are part of the local community. You probably live near your shop. You can't live too far away, otherwise it's hard to operate that way.
Well, Jacksonville is not by population, but it is the largest city landmass. So for me to get to the shop, it's a good 40 minutes.
Oh,
So
really?
people try to drive, but for me, it's just hop on 95 and cruise, and it's pretty close in my opinion,
I was just in
but it is
Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, actually. Yeah,
nice.
I flew into the, I was going to Florida. I had to go somewhere and just kind of, so I live in Boston, and at this point in my life, my kids are old. I'm like, all right, maybe it's time to get out of the Boston area and get these winters. So I'm obviously looking for areas and places to kind of move to. So Jacksonville was one of the areas we looked at. I flew into Jacksonville, kind of toured around.
It's a great area, you know, it's a great up and coming area. We have football teams, we have a lot of sports, we have the beaches, the culinary scene. It's not anything up to snuff with Boston, New York, Chicago, but you know, there's the rivers and alligators.
Yeah. I like it too, like
So
the weather there, like it gets real hot in the summer, but it's not as hot in the summer in Jacksonville as it is, say, in Miami.
it's not. I went to culinary school in South Florida, and don't even put your air condition on in your car. You just, why? I don't feel nothing.
Yeah, it's
So,
crazy down there. Yeah. So yeah, I was like, okay, so now that you have a brick and mortar, you sold your food truck, would you do it all over again the same way? Would you start like you got to take finances into consideration, but not where you are now, because where we are now is different than where we probably started. So like taking all that into consideration, would you do it the same way, or would you save up and just go right into a brick and mortar?
you know, sometimes I don't think I would have went to culinary school. I'm just kidding. No, but to do it again, I think every single part is every part's a beautiful journey. You know, we you go from working in fine dining and you have 20 cooks in the on the line to doing like multiple course menus to just being like, hey, we're doing wood fired pizza out of this oven and we're just cranking out pizza and wings, and you just really get to specify on what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
But every single bit of it was a great learning experience. You can't take that back. They're all different stories in life. There's a lot of ups and downs, and you have to celebrate both of them just as much. You know, like the downs, you learn a lot from. Sometimes, like, there's a quote where you say you have to like embrace the suck in some ways,
Yeah.
but you have to, because we're actually learning from those times, you know?
Yeah.
So to look back and see if I did something different, where would I end up, or where would I be, or where would the business be? But right now, it's at a very blessed spot. Are we doing record sales, record numbers? Are we multiple locations? No, and all no. But do we have a very healthy name and reputation? And do we give a great product out? And do we walk around with our chest up and shoulders back, being proud of what we do? Yes. So with that being said, I would do everything the same. Of course, there's mistakes on the way that we've done that I would only know from now. But, you know,
Like you said,
if we don't,
it's a learning experience.
yeah, exactly.
I always say people, because they ask me what success looks like, because I've interviewed so many people in the pizza business, and I'm like, you know what? Success to me is, do you wake up like still enjoy going to work? Yeah, this is gonna be days that suck, right? Like, but for the most part, do you like what you do? Are you able to support your family and make a good living?
Yeah.
And do you have a good reputation, like you said? And if you those three things you can kind of check off the box, and to me, you're a success, because a lot of people wake up in the morning, hate their job, hate their life,
Yes.
can't choose to do what they want to do because they went to college and spent so much money doing or learning something that they didn't really know they enjoyed. Now they're stuck paying that. So, we're in a great spot where as long as you wake up, you're happy, you can pay your bills, your family is happy and supported. To me, that's
I think
success.
that's the most healthiest mindset of what it is. The world has created this image of you need to have a Bugatti
Yeah.
or a mansion or this or that, but you wake up and just what you said, every certain person's level of success is their own level of
Yeah.
success. So, but at the end of the day, we wake up, we're happy we're doing what we're doing. We get to answer to ourselves and mostly to the customers.
That's great. You went to culinary school, huh? Did you work in like a restaurant before you started the food truck?
Yeah, I worked. So I went to culinary school in South Florida, and I was like a New York Floridian. And you know when all the Yankees were moving down to Florida in like '89,
Yeah.
so I grew up down here most of it, and I moved to Manhattan for my 20s, and jumped into the fine dining scene and worked at. I started at Gotham Bar and Grill, and then was sipping the fine dining Kool-Aid, and went to Le Bernardin, the Modern, Oceana, went to Australia for a few years.
Wow.
And well, it was honestly a moment. I'm sitting there and I'm having a pizza and beer. Like, this is what it's about. You know, it's not about the fine dining food, like the tweezers. And some of it's really cool what they're doing, you know, but a pizza, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a construction worker working at the library, a volunteer, and everybody of all forms of life can have this 5 days a week if you want it to a once a month special occasion and enjoy it. You know, it's for everybody.
Yeah. And
So that's
everybody loves pizza. It's a food for everybody. Like you can always eat pizza.
it is. It is. But the issue with pizza is so many people actually do get this bad notion about it just being unhealthy.
Yeah.
And so many pizzas are just a pool of grease, and you're getting clogged up, and they're just not fermenting the dough properly, and it's just not healthy for your gut or for your bodies. But now, this new age of like young pizzaiolos and this new rave of this whole pizza industry, we're doing the fermentations, they're doing the pooliches, the bigas, and all sorts of different styles of pizza, not just the hey, do you make your dough fresh daily?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think the internet helped with that, right? Like there's access to information a lot easier now with, you know, between people and not just like Googling things that you can learn from, but like being able to like reach out to you and say, hey, I saw you make great pizza. How do you do that? As an example.
So I've learned so much in the pizza community from these other people just saying like, oh, I have no idea what cold fermentation was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And just this or that, or just your different hydration levels and your styles of flours that you're using. And but you're very, very right, 100%. And the cool thing about this industry is that everybody's usually an open book.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to ask somebody for their exact recipe, well, good luck on that, to be honest. But your environment also has a big difference of what you're serving.
I'd say anybody who's like, who uses the social media, I just made myself sound like an old man. I meant to say the internet, social media and the internet.
Go on that social media.
Yeah. Go on that thing that I call that internet. If you're like on social media, using it for your business, you have a website, you know, you're using email and Facebook and Instagram and all those things, you're definitely a lot more open than those old school. There's still some of those old school operators out there who are kind of behind the scenes, who don't use social media, whose business has been around for 40 years. And they're just kind of coasting on their legacy and doing what they've always done. And I don't know if they're not as open or they're just not as accessible.
It's probably just a product of their environment, like you're saying. So back when I started working in New York, for us to learn something different, we had to stage at another restaurant on our day off.
Really?
So it's not, and you're working for another
restaurant. Explain what that means for somebody who doesn't know what that means.
So a stage, and when we have somebody coming and interviewing at the restaurant, I'll also call it a stage. It's a working interview. You come and you work a few hours of the shift for free. You get to interview us. You get to see whether you, A, like being around this environment, and we get to see whether you have drive and passion for what it is.
Yeah.
But also longer stages. You could stage at a workplace for a week for free, just complimentary. I want to embrace myself at this location. Places like Rene Redzepi has had, or like these top-rated restaurants in the world, they'll have a quarter of their staff, they're just free stages where they will work, passionate to work at the top-rated restaurants for X amount of times. But what we would do at a young time, if we wanted to learn, oh, maybe I'm going to learn some Italian because I'm working at a fresh restaurant, your day off, you're writing an email or something hoping that they'll let you come in and work for free.
Right.
And we didn't have the internet access like you're discussing, which is so cool now, where you could practically just Google anything and come up with it. I have some old employees that we communicate all the time with, and they're interested in opening up a pizza spot, and I'm like talking to them all the time about it. And I'll give them practically a full breakdown, and it worked with them for years. It's just like, just use the recipe.
Yeah.
Just use the recipe we did. Well, I want to do my own thing. Well, then start tweaking it off that recipe, you know?
Start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You can always like change it over time, but start somewhere.
We've changed our recipe, I would say, probably 25 times. We started with just the straight double O Caputo flour, and then we added a little more high gluten into it, a little bit more, trying to get more structure. And we were sipping the Kool-Aid of, oh, it's Neapolitan, flour, water, salt, yeast. And then it's like, wait a second. We just evolved into where we are now. So right now, I think we're very content for where our recipe is. But it was a complete evolution.
Yeah.
And when people are going to try to categorize, what type of pizza are you? Oh, there's a fire. You're Neapolitan. No, we're not Neapolitan. Like, there's a very strict ruling guideline to what a Neapolitan pizza is.
Yeah.
So
I think, too, like, the consumer doesn't really know that, but the pizza people do, right?
Very much so. Very much so.
Like, if the customer sees a wood-fired oven, they just say Neapolitan.
Mm-hmm. And it's respect to Naples. It's respect to the craft.
Yeah.
I've never been to Naples. I don't want to eat my pizza with a fork and knife. But I'm just saying, like, I respect that style. The Detroit style is amazing for what that is. The Chicago, every single style is very respect. You have to show respect to what it is. But if you want to do your own twists, you know?
I like all kinds of pizza. I don't know if Neapolitan's my favorite though. I feel like I like a pizza that you could you don't I like pizza you don't have to eat right away. Now that's gonna sound blasphemous. Like I want to eat it right away, but I don't want to be like, all right, if it sits there for 20 minutes, it's gonna be a way different product than when it comes out of the oven.
Very, very, very true. So that was also part of our journey for food trucking. So say if we just moved into a storefront right away. We would have never had to go through those steps because all of our pizzas when we're food trucking are going into a box and they're walking to an office building and they're going to eat it 10, 15 minutes later and it's steaming and you're going to lose that complete crunch, that texture, that instant gratification. So with that being said, that was part of our evolution of learning what works. And it's also like, hey, we're in Jacksonville, Florida. We're not here or there, whatever. Let's feed the people what they want, you know, but also in respectful homage to the craft.
Do you have a lot of transplants? Obviously, Jacksonville's probably not a lot of people grew up in Jacksonville. It's probably a lot of people moving there from other places, right?
Well, the people that are moving here are, they're mostly people from other careers. A lot of the staff members that we have are people that are born and raised here, but it's like different companies that have people that are coming in, like tech companies and stuff. So a lot of it, a lot of my staffing and but are local. A lot of the customer base are not local. I noticed right after 2020, this area had a huge, huge amount of Northerners coming in. And it's not just from New York. It's Philly, it's Pennsylvania, anywhere north of Virginia.
Yeah.
We're old. So.
And you just name like Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, New England, all kind of have similar palettes when it comes to pizza, right? Like they may have a little bit different of a tweak on it, but like it's all kind of New York style pizza. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a firm standard.
Yeah.
Nice to have the people coming in saying like, you know, you remind me of this place. And it's just like, I'm not going to say some of the names because I have super high respect and I'm not trying to name drop on trying to bandwagon along the name of them. But it's like some of these places that I'm here and it's, I take great pride in just even being under the same breath.
Yeah.
So
it's good because Florida for a long time had a reputation of not having great pizza.
Well, it's late. It's like they say, it's easy here.
Yeah.
People come, they're going to retire. But I think a lot of places in Florida still do have that. But this small amount of places that are really trying to outshine are really standing out.
Some of my favorite pizza places I've been to are in Florida. Like Bruno. I don't know if you've ever been to Orlando. Bruno's Pizza in Orlando. Great pizza shop. He has two of them. Great pizza shops.
Cool, cool. Yeah. I've been to his spot in his original spot in Orlando. I've been there. And I've also been, I believe they had one downtown in a brewery.
Yeah.
And I have not been to the new spot. The new spot, I believe, is the Jersey style.
Yeah, I like that one better.
Nice.
That's probably my favorite style pizza.
Very cool.
Small shop, though. Like, small footprint, small shop, does a lot of takeout. That he kind of pivoted, too, right? Like, his original pizzeria was, I don't know, Neapolitan-ish style, I guess, if you want to think of it that way. But then he wanted to do more takeout, and he had to change his recipe because, like you said, he didn't want it to go in a box and have it be a subpar product when someone ate it later.
Exactly. Yeah. You just have to follow your own drive. You go to these places and most of these like events, and they're wood fired. All the pizzas taste the same. So any of these pizzaiolos that are going to follow their own style and their own passion, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a lot easier now too. Like, I want everybody to have a Goonie, a Gosney, or an Uni oven, but you can kind of start like that, I guess.
Very much so. So I look at it, and I have, I started doing pop ups on the side every once in a while, and I have two Coda 15 Unis, and I look at it sometimes. It's just like, man, you just it goes on. 30 minutes later, they're hot. You don't have to feed it wood for hours and hours. Turning it on, and it's not the same pizza, but it's still a very high quality pie that you can get out of it. And then it starts making you think like, man, $600 for one of these ovens. It's like, my Earthstone oven right now is a clear 30 grand. Just do the numbers. You're like, what if we were just at like a bar just slanging like four or five pies?
There's so many
You
people
know?
who do that.
Yeah, and it's like I'm kicking myself. I'm like, what were we thinking?
Right?
But what it is.
If only though. I think 2020 that made it like kind of explode, right? Those ovens kind of exploded because people were making it at home and everything.
It's awesome. It's great. People, they're becoming like their own take-home chef. They're going off and buying dough from places like us. And next thing you know, we'll just look at them and we're just telling them, hey, how do you stretch it? They tell us how. And we're like, no, listen, the top is the bottom because the moisture level and this and this. And they just hear, and you tell them, and you're an open book. And they're just looking at you like, you weren't supposed to tell me all the secrets. You're still going to come back and get our dough in. It's all about the hospitality.
Yeah,
You
that's
know,
and
like,
also too, like if you help them out, like making pizza at home for us is easy because we do it. And like
yeah.
me making a pizza at home, other than me making a mess and my wife hating it because I'm used to like the commercial kitchen, I can make a pizza at home in 2 seconds, you know? But like
Yeah.
the average person at home, it's a lot of damn work. And they're like, all right, I can only do it so many times because there's so much that goes into it.
Exactly. So it's pretty funny. So on that note, we actually just started doing we and a lot of stuff comes in talk. I've talked about it for ages. We're gonna do pizza class. We're gonna do pizza class. Well, next thing you know, we did a pizza class and we got booked out. Like the first one went phenomenal. And you could come in, we show you how to stretch the dough, we show you how to cook it in the oven, and we show you how to top it and finish it and do all that stuff so that if you want to do it at home, you're more than able to. Like half people have like Gosneys or Onis. And my oven is really deep in the restaurant. So I'm showing them, I was like, listen, you don't need to have like the circle peel to spin it, to dome it. I was like, just cook it like this, and I'm gonna show you how to cook at home. And it's just been a great thing. And the people, the feedback have been loving it because they get their hands on with doing it. And I think they get really dumbfounded when I pull out a wine bottle and I say, if you're having issues, just use the wine bottle. They're like,
Yeah, it's like a revelation to them.
It's just, but it's don't challenge yourself, just have fun, you know?
It's like, listen, as a couple of professionals here talking on a podcast that the normal folk aren't going to listen to, it is pretty funny to see regular people try to pound out a pizza, isn't it?
It's like so whenever there's a hole in a pizza, we call it a pinch. Like we got a pinch here. I'm gonna need another pepperoni with basil and red onions over here. We'll finish with some hot honey. Yeah, that's the pie I just made. No, we're gonna make you another one.
Yeah, because it's like it's got a big tear in it. Yeah, that's funny. It is funny to see them struggle because we take it for granted because we've done thousands of them, but like it is funny to see the average person struggle to make a pizza.
And the one of the most enjoyable parts is like watching the cutting part. Where, like, when it's like the husband and wife couple, it's like you look at the wife, you're like, you know, he did something last week that made you mad. I was like, just cut the pie.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. That's awesome. You know what I love too? I love the. Have you ever heard of the bacon steel? Have you ever heard of one of those?
No, not
So
yet.
the bacon steel is like a. It's a piece of steel, that you put in the in your oven. It's almost use it instead of like a bacon stone.
Okay.
And you can use it in an electric oven, gas oven, whatever. I love that. I've been using that a ton lately, because I love the uni and gauzy. But I live in New England, right? So kind of a. It's kind of a. If it's cold outside, I don't want to go outside in
Yeah.
20 degrees and. You know, crank up that oven and wait 20 minutes. The bacon steel, you just cr put your oven on 500, let the oven heat up, let that bacon steel heat up for 15 or 20 minutes, and it makes a pizza like you would think it's New York style coming out of a brick oven. It's amazing. And
Beautiful.
it's like 90 bucks.
How can you lose?
Right. I mean, I can make my kids' friends come over, we make pizza all the time. It's like the best thing.
Yeah, and like at the end of the day, when you come down to like cooking at your house, yes, there's all these different like pizza ovens that we can use, but if you're in the kitchen and you're hanging out, you're doing it, just do what you feel is comfortable. And I would not want to be outside. And like, so for you guys making a pizza in the winter, it's for us in the summertime. I'm not on a patio.
Sometimes you don't, all you really need is a cookie sheet. Get a cookie sheet, like a nonstick cookie sheet and dough. You can make a pizza that's decent enough and just to eat at home, as long as you have some good dough.
We used to actually we used to do these par bakes for it. We would stretch the pie out, and we say we would stretch it out to a 12-inch pie. We would put two or three like 8-inch rounds right in the middle because the dough will shrink down, and we'll just par break bake it so the crust will like get its lip, and the middle will be down. Put them in a freezer. Put whatever topping you want. Next thing you know, people bring them home and they think that they're having the same exact, you know,
Yeah, that's great.
instant fresh it at the house.
That's awesome. So what kind of oven do you have in your pizzeria now? Last couple
So,
questions.
no, yeah. So right now I have the Earthstone oven, the Douwe. So it's a 110 Douwe. It's about a 5.5 feet deep or 6 feet deep by about 8 feet wide. So it's originally the oven has two openings. Instead, we just got the one massive oven
Okay.
in the middle. So she's a beast. It's a beautiful oven. The first oven that we had for the food truck was the Mugnanini 120, the dome, which is also a phenomenal oven. I just fell in love with this other oven for years before, and the mouth is a lot larger, so less bottlenecking because we don't only cook pizza in the oven. We do pizza, wings, meatballs. We'll do brisket. We'll do shrimp. We'll do all sorts of different wood-fired
Oh,
appetizers
wow.
and starters, fun stuff. So we could throw the pizzas in deep and saute and do other global flavors of appetizers, share plates. And but mind you, that's our only source of cooking. The only reason why we didn't stick with the previous oven is because it has a lot smaller of a mouth, so it keeps the heat a lot hotter. This one we need to add a bit more wood to it, but it's just a larger playground.
Yeah. Do you do delivery or just is it just dine in?
No, we do delivery, but it is definitely third party DoorDash and Grubhub. Just at the moment, we're just not really working with some of the other ones. I don't really like the accessibility of them. I really enjoy the, like, if I could just jump on my iPhone, cancel an order, or update photos, or this and that, and I can do all the back end. I appreciate that,
Yeah.
which I really, really like with the DoorDash. We don't have drivers, and sometimes people say, "Why don't you have drivers or this and that?" Because DoorDash and these other delivery companies, they cost a fee. Well, listen, if I was paying Johnny to sit around to wait for an order to hang out and pay more on my insurance than just to pay him by the hour, and just so happens I'm getting 5 to 10 orders at a time, he's not able to deliver that. So I will pay, and I will be very happy for them to do that service for
Yeah.
us.
It, when we so we had a delivery, we had a lot of delivery drivers and we delivered a lot. It was like two different businesses. Yeah, we had to run two businesses inside of one because managing the delivery drivers, managing the deliveries, all the schedule, all of that, it was like a separate business.
Yep. It's and next thing you know, you something gets screwed up. Here's a review. They're
Yeah.
nailing, they're hitting this, they're hitting that. At least for this, we have the buffer of the third party where instead of them wanting a full refund, we can meet halfway
Yeah.
and say this situation, that and that, we're all in it together. Sometimes, of course, situations happen where the order doesn't get dropped off. We may give them the wrong pizza a few times. We're all humans.
Yeah.
People make mistakes. So only thing we have to do is try to. Only thing we do is hold ourselves accountable for whatever happened and go above and beyond and take care of the customer.
Yeah. That was a
You
question I
know?
got asked on a Q&A episode recently about how do you handle an upset customer? And I was like, there's only really three things you can do. You can give them a refund, you can remake their order, or you can give them a credit on their next order. Like, other than
Yeah.
those three things, there's not much else you can do.
Sometimes people, it's just not the pizza you want.
Yeah.
Like, we've had people come in and they're just like mean mugging me, like, "Well, so good." I'm like, "We're good for the style of what we're making. We enjoy what we're making, but if you want a tavern style pizza,
Yeah.
this is not your spot."
Right.
You know, like, "Well, I might give you another chance to come by and check you out." Don't.
Yeah. Don't
Like the
bother.
guy, when we said that, I was like, "Because whatever you had tonight is what you're gonna have next time." You know, unless like exactly what you said, all three of those, if any of those three don't fix it, well, we tried our
Yeah,
best.
there's nothing else you can do. There's really nothing else you can do. As long as you get
No.
like maybe the services, but like usually the service isn't the issue.
No. But the service nowadays, honestly, I'm finding the more and more that I go out to a restaurant, it is starting to become the issue, because I could have great food and then the server's going to come up to me with their little square, their little toast pamphlet, and right in front of me, and you're going to have to stick your card in, and it's going to say sign 20, 25, or
Yeah.
30%. The issue is that then they're staring right at you, and right after you sign that, it's like you're checked off. I don't have to look at you. I don't refill your water. You can sit here for 5 or 10 more minutes. You know, the family and the kids or whatever, and now they just write you off, you know, when it comes to service. So a lot of people don't really, I feel that the industry, when it comes to hospitality and a service, lately it's starting to really decline in some of the ways. So myself being trained in the back end, where we're always like, oh, it's the food. We have to have the best food. It's not the servers and this and this. And it was always like that little rival. Well, you could have mediocre food. I'm not trying to say that we want to have mediocre food one bit.
Yeah.
We have a great experience from the food to every bit. But as long as you have great service, great customer service, that's what makes the people want to come back. Hospitality, it's a home, you know? And I think that's where the industry really needs to strive on a lot more versus these kiosks.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of
So.
people who have quick service places that are more are kind of migrating to that kiosk because they say they can't find help or those people don't want to work. And it's just like,
There's a balance.
yeah.
You know, if they say if you build it, they'll come, you know, like. You can always find, like, okay, I can't find flour to make pizza. I'm gonna close the pizzeria.
Right.
Find the flour somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't get me wrong, but we run our restaurant, and people are gonna die when I say this, but we run with like a really a crew of like 5 to maybe 6 people, including myself. So it's a very tight community, and we all like form like a family in it. But if we're short somebody one day, we're filling in, we're covering that other person, we're this and that, you know, like we're just forming together. But the problem with these other places is that they're so large and they're just trying to franchise these
Yeah.
spots. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna open up 10 spots this year, and I don't want to have to worry about somebody's personality or attitude or coming in or this and that. They're just in the business a lot of times for the numbers game. And if that's your vision of success, then that's your vision of success. Ours, I guess we want to be the cheers of the pizzeria where everybody knows your name, you
I
know?
guess like there's not every single employee is bad. There are some good people out there who really want to work. It's your job as the owner to kind of you're competing with other businesses to attract the best people. How do you do that? Right? Like
Yes.
that's what your goal is, like trying to make that atmosphere that they enjoy coming to work too. Just like you enjoy your work because you're the owner, they want to enjoy their work too because they're the employee.
It's us to 200% that, and it's also for us to not just while they're there, be there, but if they're gonna learn something, if they're gonna say, hey, I work with Pi 95, I want you to be able to leave and your next employer to be like, they trained you well. It's like you have good work ethic, you have good drive, you have good passion, you have good fundamentals,
Yeah.
you know? So whatever career it is that you go off and you leave working with us from and you do something else, if you're going to be a mechanic, if you're going to go off and you're going to become a police officer and you pull somebody over, give them good hospitality. Honest engine. 2 weeks ago, I'm driving and I didn't realize it was a 45. I thought it was maybe a 55. I'm going 68. I get pulled over. Cop comes up to me. You know why he pulled you over? It's my fault. Yes, I got it. You know, totally in the wrong,
Yeah.
200%. This guy gave me better customer service than half the restaurants that I was going to.
Wow.
And then on, yeah, then on top of it, the guy goes, you know what? I'm gonna give you a ticket for 51 instead of that. I know times are tight right now, and this. And I was just like,
wow.
Do you want part time work?
That's awesome. So,
but it's about, yeah, just not just in the industry, but it's all around.
Yeah. I wish we could get more of that. You know what, Evan? I've been on with you for a while now. Where can people go say hello to you or stop by your place if they wanted to?
Yeah, definitely. The restaurant, we are located in Jacksonville, Florida, in Riverside. It's the address is 1510 King Street. That's in Riverside. We have indoor seating, some back outdoor seating in the back as well. Please check out our social media at PIE95Pizza, so Pi95Pizza on social media, Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, we'd love to cook you some food and just hope you have a wonderful evening with us.
The website too, pie, the word pie, the number 95pizza.com too. So we'll link that up with the show notes over at Smart Pizza Marketing. That's your social too, right? Same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Evan.
It was a like I-95, Pi-95.
Yeah, because I-95, you're probably near I-95 in
literally.
Okay.
I hear the interstate from my house.
Okay, good. So that's probably why, yeah, I've been on that road many times. Evan, thank you so much. Don't go anywhere yet, but I appreciate you hanging out with me here on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.